New York has a lot of hostels. Fancy ones, cheap ones. I stayed in some beautiful ones for like $20, $25.
Oh, wow.
I stayed right in downtown New York. I stayed in the East Side. I stayed in the West Side.
Welcome to the Near and Far podcast. I'm your host, Zachary Ellis, and this show is all about embracing curiosity, leaping beyond your comfort zone, and learning from adventurers like yourself who have traveled near and far. We're joined today by our guest, William Meaney. William is a resourceful gentleman who has tons of great tips for traveling on a budget. Welcome to the show, William.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. Where all have you been?
Just about half of the country. I've been to, obviously Chicago, New York City, all 14 major cities in Florida, Tucson, 14. Arizona. Yeah. All Tucson, Arizona, Charleston, South Carolina, upstate New York, New York City.
Nevertheless, your home base is in Cleveland, so you have found ways to really get to a bunch of places. When was the first time you left Cleveland? I remember telling me about a trip to a Model UN trip. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, not counting. That might be it. Not counting Erie, Pennsylvania, because that's right next door. Yes, I think it was, actually. That was early in the year of 89. January, February, March, 89, and it was not even 36-hour stay there. Got there in the morning, went to UN Nations. That went till like, I don't know, when that's like mid-afternoon. And then we were
This
free.
Was in New York City, right?
Yes, New York City.
Yeah.
And that was my first ever experience of a major city, and I was only 20, so I was still a kid, and we got let loose on our own for the evening, and so I went to a revolving restaurant and had dinner at the restaurant, and then I saw O Calcutta.
Where's there's O Calcutta? How old were you?
20.
All right, so for those of us who are less familiar with O Calcutta, what impressions did 20-year-old William have when did you know what you were walking into?
No. No idea. It was the only play that I was close to in proximity without having to take a taxi or a bus or a train. I think I just walked to the theater and saw the show, and that was it.
What's O Calcutta about?
A lot of nudity.
How would you describe it?
Well, it's been over 40 years since I've seen it, so it was mainly just a lot of nudity. There's no clothes the whole time. Everyone was nude. The whole cast was nude. I don't remember a whole bunch about it. Our listeners will have to look it up and learn about it, because I can't remember anything about the show itself.
Did anyone else from this this Model UN trip end up in this?
No. They had...
Where'd they all go?
They gave us choices. A couple of choices. The number one choice was David Letterman's show, which I didn't know who he was. I didn't know David Letterman. I was in bed during David Letterman, you know. I didn't know who he was or what he was, so I said, I'm just going to go on my own. And I went all by myself.
And you just happened to wander into O Calcutta.
Yes. I think the hotel concierge told me about it or something, you know, something like that.
Was the Model UN part of the trip anywhere close to as memorable?
We got there so early. Got there right at 9 o'clock and had to go through customs and all that, and then got to our seats. And there's no special guests. It was just, I don't know, someone local talking, some sort of ambassador or something. And then they broke for a few minutes for a break, and then we went back, and that was it. We were done by 5. And our professor said, just be back at the hotel by 7 a.m. So.
Oh, that's we had very evening. Different than my school trips.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was college. I was freshman at Kent State.
When you were doing Model UN, was there a country that that you really enjoyed role-playing as?
If I'm not mistaken, it was not anything to do with the what you categorically call the Model UN. This was my government class called Problems of Democracy, called POD. So our POD professor organized all this, and I think about 50 of us went. At least a whole bus full of people went, and it costed like $50 or something. Just costed me dinner and the play.
That's amazing, even for this time period, to get transportation and lodging in New York City for $50.
Well, this was back in, what did I say, 1889. So, 89. Yeah, it's a long time ago.
And as someone who had never been to a city like that, do you remember the moment you first saw the skyline through the bus windows?
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. I never left. That was my first actual ever trip out of Ohio, and it was amazing. All I can remember it being amazing.
As someone who lived in Chicago for a while, whenever I visit Manhattan, it just still feels like there are so many people. The density there is phenomenal. There's no place else like it in the U.S. Mm-mm. Was that unsettling to you, or
no? It was amazing.
Or invigorating?
Invigorating. Yeah, I've been to New York City now probably about 13 times. Most recent COVID, or just before COVID, Christmas 2019. And every time I go, I'm still like in total shock that I'm actually standing there and looking at all of that, and I can't believe it. And I'm a whole different person when I'm there. I'm like happy and excited, and I can't get to something to do fast enough. And
yeah, there's amazing. So many options.
It's unreal.
And have you left anything for your next trip? Do you have a New York City bucket list going on?
I'm an on and off fan of Saturday Night Live. So right now I'm a fan, and I'd like to go sit in one of the showings, but I have to get the money together for the trip. Then it has to be during taping season or taping sessions. So they've been taking breaks lately. They've been on a break this week, past week, so they don't tape every single week. So it's hit and miss. And then my most ultimate goal is to go to the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Day Parade. And next year, not this year, but next year is the 100th. I'm sorry, if I don't go this year, I'll definitely go next year for the 100th parade. That's my ultimate bucket list.
That sounds like a fun one to get you. Wish you luck getting there.
Yeah, me too.
I remember you saying you also had a goal of eating at the Tavern on the Green.
But I did in 2017. No, 2019. It had to be 2019. No, it wasn't. I'll have to look back on
regardless of the year. Regardless of the year. How was it? Oh, those who don't know, Tavern on the Green, set the scene for us. Where is it? Why is it such a destination?
It is at the time it was a Four Diamond restaurant. Five Diamond restaurant. It had world-renowned chefs. It had, it's right smack in the middle of Central Park. It has, I think, three restaurants, one main restaurant, one restaurant lounge, and another, like, informal restaurant, dining room, rather. And it's been one of New York City's longest-running restaurants. I went all out. I got prime rib and baked potato and one cocktail. And I had five different servers that weighed on me. And then right after dinner, I went to Broadway of The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Very different show than Old Calcutta.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was wonderful. The scenery was unreal.
If you were to recommend either the Grinch Who Stole Christmas or Oh Calcutta, which one should listeners of the show go see?
Well, if you have the little ones, it would go the Grinch.
Well, on that note, let's take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to hear a bit about advice for traveling to New York and all of these other places on a budget. Near and Far Podcast is looking for future guests. If you or someone you know would like to share your stories or experiences with other listeners, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to the show at www.nearandfar.travel. That's nearandfar.travel to tell us why you'd be great on a future episode. William, you've told me before on the same trip where you had that luxurious $90 meal at Tavern on the Green. How much was the megabus ride to get there?
Probably $1.
A dollar to get from Ohio to New York City?
Cleveland, that... Ohio to Manhattan, was... yes.
Are you sure this one wasn't in the 80s too?
What it was, or what the gimmick was for that, I think there's like, 40 passengers on megabus. If you were the first caller from Ohio to Cleveland, to New York City, you got your seat for $1. And the booking fee was 50 cents. So 50 cents each way, $1 each way, total $3.
Wow, the booking fee was half of the fare cost?
Yes.
That's worse than Ticketmaster.
Yeah. Well, 50 cents, you can't go wrong.
So what happens if you're the second person on that route?
I think it's $59 or $69.99, which isn't too bad.
Oh, yeah, that's still to have someone else drive you from Ohio to Manhattan. That's not bad.
No.
What's the experience like on Megabus?
Not all too pleasant, because you're either hit with either not having workable outlets or you were stuck not having internet or both, and not much leg room really on Megabus unless you got the window seat overlooking the driver on the second floor of the bus. You got a little bit of wiggle room there, but that was it.
Are any of the routes that you took overnight routes so that... Can you sleep well on buses?
No, I don't sleep at all. No, I just stay awake, just keep my eyes closed and try to fall asleep best I can. I just think the UN trip was overnight. No, there had been overnights. Yeah, we boarded at midnight. So we got on a bus at midnight and got to Manhattan, I think around 9:30 in the morning.
I'm just thinking how nice it would be to be, one, the first caller so that you get the $1 fare, and then to be able to sleep on a bus so that you spend $1, wake up in a new city, and you're all refreshed, though that sounds like that wasn't quite your experience, was it?
Not refreshed, but happy. I was very happy, needless to say.
And... Even for full fare, for $50 or $60, you can easily spend that on parking and in an afternoon there.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
How does bus travel compare to Amtrak? Because you mentioned, I know you've taken Amtrak to Chicago a number of times, right?
More than a number of times. Probably about 100. More leg room. And there's also, you know, the dining room, dining cart. So that's always helpful. More restrooms.
It's always a plus.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite menu item in their dining car?
I have not really dined that much. I think my last trip was November. And I think I just got one of those breakfast sandwiches. It was okay. It was like a Bob Evans or Jimmy Dean. So it wasn't, you know, nothing phenomenal. But, I mean, I'm just saying that that has a dining card if I needed it.
I've always appreciated on trains just how flexible your experience is. You have legroom, you can walk to a cafe car, not when an attendant brings dinner out, yeah, but when you get hungry, when you want coffee. When you're packing for these trips, what's your secret? What's the secret recipe to packing efficiently?
Well, packing efficiently, if my host or hostess has a washer and dryer, I could pack 2 pants, 2 shirts, 2 underwear, 2 socks, you know, 1 hoodie, 1 jacket. Because I've had some nightmare stories about packing. I know Spirit Airlines, you're literally only allowed to carry 1 carry-on, and that's it. Everything else is charged.
Oh.
So I've packed plenty of stuff in this one piece of pet. One, like, handbag / tote bag that I have that everything fit that one time, so that was good. And for depending on how long I'm gone, you know, because Megabus doesn't charge anything, so I could take anything I want on Megabus if they were here, but they're long gone. Greyhound now has rules. So I'm taking Greyhound in 2 weeks to Detroit, Michigan, and they now have a rule where you can take one with you on and one other one, but it can't weigh over 50 pounds or something. Just pack light. I've always packed light.
It's good advice. And you mentioned that you're always staying with a host. That's, in my experience, if you have friends or family in other cities and they're willing to host, or if they want to catch up, you can save so much money.
Yes.
Is that how you've ended up in so many places? Do you know people in most of the places you go?
Well, I know I have one friend in New York City. She now lives in Queens. She had me one time for a few days, so that was really nice. And I also, you know the host's father. So I've, you know, stayed there a few times, more than a few times. Anywhere else I've gone, my friend in Charleston, I've stayed at her place twice and packed for a whole week there, and I packed more than 1 or 2 outfits because it gets so hot there in Charleston.
Probably makes it even easier to fit everything into 1 carry-on.
Well, that too.
Clothes are all, yeah, half size.
I forgot how I got to Charleston. I guess I flew. I flew both times by Spirit Airlines. And that's, you know, I'm saying you had to pack light for Spirit Airlines.
All right. So if I'm understanding correctly, if you want to get there quickly, you can fly a low-cost airline like Spirit and just make sure to limit your luggage to a carry-on by either staying someplace with a washer and dryer, mm-hmm, or staying with a friend. If you want to get there comfortably, Amtrak is the way to go. And affordably, try to be that first caller on the Megabus.
Yeah. And pre-COVID, I also forgot to mention, pre-COVID, I stayed at hostels. And hostels are very cheap.
Oh, yeah.
It's only $20.
I know hostels are very popular in Europe, and they're just such a neat alternative to hotels, where it feels more like you're staying in a college dorm, and you, yeah, end up... there might be a shared bathroom, but it's just a very reasonable way to stay in a new city. In your experience, how are hostels in the United States?
Chicago's are nice. I have stayed at the one over there in Greektown for quite a few years, but they now have since closed since COVID, and they're just housing refugees currently.
Oh.
New York has a lot of hostels, fancy ones, cheap ones. I stayed in some nice ones. I stayed in some beautiful ones for like $20, $25.
Oh, wow.
I stayed right in downtown New York. I stayed in the East Side. I stayed in the West Side. Upper West Side I stayed. So,
when you walk into a hostel, what's the process like? Is it just like checking into a hotel?
Yeah, you call ahead and make your reservation with your credit card. And you have to have a credit card. And you have to have a, you know, state ID. And you have to be 21 or 18 and over. You can't live there. You're not allowed to live in hostels. Yeah, just walk up to the desk and then give them your luggage. They might take your luggage. And then they'll give you your room key and they tell you to come back around 3 o'clock.
Would you normally have your own room, or is it a situation where you stay with roommates?
I've always gotten men-only room, and then I either got the 6 men or the 8 men.
So the lodging is kind of like a college dorm room or a military barracks, and if you're just going someplace to explore the city and not staying because the hotel is... If the hotel isn't the destination and you just need a place to sleep, that sounds great.
Yeah, that's what I did. That's what it is for me. I'm not in the hotel only just to sleep, and I'm out the door like before sun comes up.
Nice. Well, we've chatted a bit about the places that you've been, the advice that you have, and when we come back, I'd like to hear a bit about something closer to home. So many places to go, so many things to see. Wherever you are, make it easy to find more interviews like this one. Near and Far's free monthly newsletter will keep you up to speed about the latest podcast episodes, as well as our hand-picked recommendations. That's only one email per month. To sign up, simply follow the link in the show notes, or head over to www.nearandfar.travel/newsletter. William, you've lived much of your adult life in Cleveland. Why should the rest of us come visit your fine city?
Well, we have, as I said before, we have a very large restaurant scene. I know that would not be a reason to come here, but I'd make it a second reason to come here is because of the restaurants.
I mean, we're recording this around dinner time, so telling me they have a nice restaurant scene is a pretty nice incentive.
Cleveland, let's see, what can I say?
Drew Carey would say Cleveland rocks.
Yeah, we have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I know we all know about that. Well, the big thing now is the Cleveland Browns they're going to leave downtown and go to a suburb and put a brand new multi-trillion dollar dome. I don't know why they're even bothering. It's just they're a horrible team, but that's just my opinion. It's very diverse, very welcoming.
It's on the lakefront, too, right?
Yeah, it's right on the lake.
And what do people in Cleveland do for fun?
They drink a lot of beer.
Do you have good breweries there?
We have quite a few. We got Fatheads. We have Great Lakes Beer. We have Southern Tier has a miniature brewery here now.
Oh, cool.
We have a couple of breweries. Then we have the independent breweries, such as Market Garden Brewery. We have a non-alcoholic beer brewery. So yeah. We have quite a few breweries.
And does Cleveland have a signature meal or a food that Cleveland does better than anywhere else?
We have, like Chicago, we have our Little Italy, we have our Chinatown or Asia Town, we have our German Town, we have our Slovakian Town. We also have a place called Tremont. It's just all restaurants. We have a little city which I'm just adjacent to called Ohio City, and that's a lot of little restaurants there. As for one single certain thing, I would just have to say for the general mass, Lake Erie Perch, but I don't eat fish, so I don't know. But that's one of our more signature plates, if you will.
Lake Erie Perch.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look into that next time I'm in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Fish fries are big here for this time of the year, too.
Hmm. Do Clevelanders... What do you call people from Cleveland? Clevelanders?
Yeah, Clevelanders.
Okay, cool.
We have lots of... I should say we do have any given time of the early mid-spring to late summer, early fall. Cleveland is well known for very, very, very many festivals. We have a garlic festival, a pickle festival, a chocolate festival. We have, and then we also have weeks. We have Burger Week, we have Wing Week, we have Pierogi Week, we have Pizza Week. It's crazy here in Cleveland. Cleveland is, I'm telling you, Cleveland is the food, main food hub between Chicago and New York. It's just...
Did I hear right? You said garlic festival?
Yes, garlic festival. Oh, we also have a bacon festival.
Oh.
Which I didn't go to last year because I wasn't sure I wanted to go, but now I want to go this year. So I want to go to the bacon festival this year.
Which is your favorite festival to visit?
The film festival starts Thursday.
Film isn't nearly as tasty as
no,
as bacon,
it's not. the Asian Fest. We have an Asian Fest, and that's what? 2 days in May. That's my favorite. Mm. I go every year. This will be the 12th year of the Asian Festival, and I love it. I try to go both days if I can.
What do you order when you go?
Oh, it's so good. This year and last year, I got it. I'm going to get it again next year because they're coming in next year. I got this Korean cheeseburger egg roll. Oh, my God. Yeah, it was so good.
Korean cheeseburger egg roll.
Yes, it's to die for. And then I got a very large, for only like $8, a very large bowl of fried rice with Korean barbecue chicken and Korean barbecue chicken sauce. I almost got two portions. It was so good.
So next time I'm in Cleveland, I need to, one, go in May to this Asian food festival.
Second command.
Two, get the Korean hamburger egg roll. And three, before I leave, I need to try some of this Lake Erie perch to see if it's worth you avoiding it.
I'll make your tartar sauce for you.
Thanks. And then also, I know film isn't delicious, but you volunteer with the Cleveland International Film Festival. Is that right?
I did for over 10 years, but I quit 10 years ago.
Tell me a little about this, the film festival.
Normally, ballpark 300 films from around the world. Of the 300 films, I think 100 are just regular films, and 150 to 200 are miniature or shorts. And, in one venue.
In one venue? Is this a movie, like a multiplex movie theater? Or...
It's called Playhouse Square. It's where all the live shows take place, like Broadway.
That sounds like a good time. And William, you've sold me on Cleveland. I think I'm going to have to come over and try a bunch of the food, beer, movies, lakefront.
Let me know.
Will do. Thanks again for being on the show, William, and thank you for listening to the Near and Far podcast. If you liked this conversation, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your fellow explorers. You can find more episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and nearandfar.travel, or wherever you enjoy your favorite podcasts. I'm your host, Zachary Ellis. Stay curious, stay adventurous, and stay exploring near and far.